Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of the HR Analytics Dashboard Employee Cycle. You know us, we're your friendly HR Analytics Dashboard, pulling in all your data from all your different HR systems into one real-time, centralized, and beautiful place for you to be able to view, track, share, and analyze all that data. But that's enough about us, because today we have an awesome guest, and his name is Brian Smith, co-founder at Leon. And today we're going to talk about the future of corporate wellness. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
The crowd goes wild.
Yeah, man. It's hot today in Philadelphia. Tell you what, man. I was walking around the city.
Amazing.
You know. So, I'm excited to be on. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to share your insights with our audience. But as we always do, let's start out with our first traditional question, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
You know what? I mean, quite honestly, you know, it's one of those things where I really never saw myself in the wonderful world of HR. I mean, to give you an understanding of my background, you know, I primarily worked in professional sports. So I worked in the sports science department for multiple different professional organizations, primarily being in professional track and field. I had a number of athletes in Rio, and you know, I worked with 800 meter athletes and 1500 meter athletes, really sort of just taking really all this performance data, looking at EEG and ECG and blood analytics and sleep tracking and all these sort of like amazing things, and then using those to potentially predict injury or predict performance. You know, so really cool stuff. And being from Philadelphia, you know, you probably heard a ton of it from Chip Kelly back in the day. But that being said, you know, that sort of pushed me into another startup before this, which was built around helping athletes sort of find, you know, top quality orthopedic surgeons and chiropractors and strength coaches, and then developing sort of organizational teams around that. So we started that in Austin. I ended up sort of jumping out of this company to start Leon, you know, and then Leon was purely based on the idea of proving out preventable care. You know, I know that you're probably going to ask me this question next, but, you know, one of those things where it's like, what is wellness? You know, what is fitness? You know, how do people get healthy? Everybody has a different answer about that, right? I mean, you might do boxing, someone else might run a marathon. So that essentially, in a long way, brought me into sort of starting a corporate wellness platform, which I'm sure we'll go into detail.
Yeah, and you just led me to that perfect segue. What does Leon do?
So Leon is a user-focused corporate wellness platform. Going back on my previous statement about what is wellness, everybody's different, you know, from physiology, from emotional intelligence to motivation. Everybody engages in sort of wellness and fitness one way or another, right? Hopefully they do exercise. So we built this platform on allowing a user-driven model and allowing employees to decide how they get fit. You know, we call it sort of, you know, employee wellness as you see fit. So through our platform, a user can buy an Equinox membership, book a SoulCycle class, get a bike share, sign up for the New York City Marathon or the Boston Marathon, join a softball league, and then we ultimately provide data analytics back to the company to show engagement, but more importantly, prove out ROI regarding corporate wellness spend.
Got it. And so, yes, you are right. I am going to ask you, what is wellness? I really want to know, and I've been having this conversation with a few other people, is there a difference between personal wellness and corporate wellness? How would you define the two?
You know what? I mean, that's a really hard thing to say, because, and I wonder, as founders, are we putting ourselves in a position where we're trying to understand what corporate wellness is or employee wellness is, when ultimately, end of the day, it's still personal wellness, right? I mean, what we're trying to do as founders, whenever we do anything for a company, take sort of, you know, medical benefits, right? You know, when you buy medical benefits for your employee, are you buying them corporate benefits? No, you're buying them benefits so they can get the surgery they need, or they can take their kids to the doctor. You know, so I see no difference. You know, I the way I look at it is, yes, there is corporate wellness and there is this like sort of employee wellness sort of type model, you know, but at the end of the day, we're still trying to engage employees. We're still trying to help the individual user or the individual person get healthier, get fitter, and live a better life. Having that affecting the company is a byproduct of that. It has nothing to do with the company. We are just reaping the benefits of personal wellness. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm gonna go off script a little here, because the other day I was actually talking to my friend Anna, who you met as the owner of the Goga corporate wellness company. And she was actually asking me, what do I think about companies that are trying to provide corporate wellness platforms or services, but focusing on the individual versus actually looking at the actual wellness of the company? What is the overall health of the company, or the engagement health of the company, if you were to make the company a living entity, if that makes any sense? And if it does, how does Leon do that? And what do you think about that concept versus what we were just talking about of actually providing personal wellness?
So I do understand what you're saying, right? And I understand that sort of the entity, like you said, of a company and sort of the overall wellness of that company theoretically makes sense, right? But I also come from a sports science background where data drives all, right? And the proof is in the pudding. So I guess I'll throw it back to you. If that is truly a thing, how do you track that? How do you measure that? How do you provide ROI on that? And then how do you sort of go through the weeds a little bit and prove that's the thing that is actually causing that response, right? Because that response on a sports science end is performance. On a company end, it's still performance, right? I mean, so if it ultimately ends up being about better productivity, you know, better sales, better growth, all those other things, and that's what you're hoping to do by having a more healthy, sort of engaged, you know, rested workforce, you know, then I think if you're going to have that message, you have to be able to actually show that it works. So, but again, I think all of that is a byproduct of having a healthier workforce as a whole. You know, but I think they go hand in hand. I don't think that they're separate. I think that maybe by having leadership focused from the top and taking a top-down model, I think that corporate wellness or employee wellness can be driven that way. But I also think, and hence my company, is we take a bottoms-up approach, right? So, but I think there's a lot of factors that can dictate that.
Got it. So what we want to do today for our audience is really break down the topic and interview into three different sections. We're going to talk about where we are today, what's the future of corporate wellness, and then what's the overall ROI and benefits that companies, and specifically HR leaders, should be looking to gain as they implement these programs. And so before we talk about the future, let's talk about where we are today. What does the landscape look like? Where do you think most companies are on the spectrum of doing poor wellness, crappy wellness versus amazing corporate wellness and everything in between? Let's just set a foundation and some context around where you believe we are today.
Sure. You know, the space is really interesting right now because, you know, I mean, roughly it's about a $40 billion space right now. I think anywhere between 7 to 10% growth rates on a yearly basis, which is primarily driven by self-managed care. You're obviously familiar with self-managed care.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, for the listeners who aren't, which they obviously probably are because it's an HR podcast, you know, a lot of the burden from a healthcare standpoint falls on the company right now, you know, and it's no longer falling on the Blue Cross Blue Shield or the UHCs of the world, right? So, you know, corporate wellness, you know, sub 15 years ago, you know, definitely came to the forefront. You know, that was mostly driven by premiums, right? And understanding how to sort of keep premiums down. And then you had your sort of traditional sort of corporate wellness, sort of HRAs, you know, step competitions and challenges and whatnot, right? So I think you're sort of going the opposite way now, where you are sort of a little bit more focused on a top-down approach, meaning, you know, wellness from the very top and having that sort of like trickle down. But you're also seeing your, you know, I mean, Gympass just raised, as a competitor of ours, just raised like $500 million, right? On a purely subsidized gym membership model, you know? So I think it's still trying to figure it out, you know? And I think, you know, hopefully it's us, but someone needs to come into the space and sort of combine all those things on a user-friendly platform, you know, that can ultimately sort of provide good data to companies to sort of prove out their spend or their commitment.
There's been so many tech startups funded in the corporate wellness space in the past 3 to 5 years, as well as service companies having been funded and popping up all across the country, in the world for that matter, as well as a lot of HR people looking to adopt corporate wellness. So what do you think is really driving this trend?
You know, I think, look at the consumer market. I think first and foremost, right? We were talking about ClassPass, but, you know, ClassPass is a very valuable company, you know, and a lot of people use it. I mean, you look at millennial spend within fitness and wellness as a whole, you know, I mean, fitness and wellness is not necessarily a like to have type thing, right? It's sort of a necessary part of life. You know, like we're primarily in New York right now, but, you know, if you look at millennial spend, you know, on a monthly basis, I think it's roughly around $150 a month spent on fitness and wellness activities. You know, that's going to be more than their college education. You know, they're spending on that stuff over the long term. You know, so I think it's at the forefront. And I understand, I think that human resources managers and founders and whatnot are understanding that if you want to be competitive from a sort of benefit offering standpoint, it's one of those, you know, not necessarily nice to have, but it's sort of necessary to have at this point.
It seems as though corporate wellness has surpassed just being about fitness and health. And now we're going into financial wellness. We're going into mental wellness and a lot of other things to really incorporate all forms and fashion of wellness.
Sure.
So can we talk about some of those categories in which you think are going to be, well, are currently the most popular? And then later we can talk about what do you think the trends are going for who's going to be the most popular in the future.
Yeah, sure. So I think it's important for you to understand how I look at the space as a whole, right? And how I look at us as like a country and a people. Healthcare is not really sustainable. If you look at sort of where we're at right now, people are getting sicker. Diabetes is an epidemic. Obesity is an epidemic. Right. So I'll always sort of tilt myself towards the managing sort of health through sort of fitness and wellness components first, because ultimately that's the thing that's going to prevent diabetes. Right. And that's the thing that's going to be prevent obesity. Now, I'm a little bit contrarian on that sense because, you know, there is a sort of mental health component to that. There is a financial component to that. And that's very, very important. But you know, that being said, I think that fitness and wellness sort of needs to lead from the front. And then having sort of ancillary sort of financial well-being and mental health well-being, which also mental health is a very sort of big thing to tackle on a corporate level. But I think all those things are important. But I think the fitness component needs to come first.
Got it. And for an HR person that wants to implement a corporate wellness plan today, what should they be looking for? How should they plan on getting buy-in for this? And what are all the different categories that they should be looking at? Because like we just talked about, there's mental wellness, there's physical wellness, and then even physical and health wellness can go into a bunch of different things. We talk about health plans or actually working out or going to the doctor. This world has become so large and complex now for so many HR leaders. If you could just give them some insight into how could they, you know, take a bite out of an elephant one at a time versus trying to tackle this whole thing and it becomes overwhelming to the point where they don't end up doing anything at all.
Right, right. So I think first and foremost, you have to look at the size of your company and ultimately what the initiatives and goals of a corporate wellness program or an employee wellness program are, right? So, you know, obviously some of the, if you're an enterprise type company, you know, there is a big component to understanding premiums and understanding spend from a healthcare standpoint as a whole, right? So you need to ask yourself, is that something that you want to look at? And is that something that you're willing to look at, right? I mean, there's companies that are going as far as understanding what the cost of a premature child is to a company over 3 to 6 months, you know, and how they can go about providing better maternal care or paternal care to sort of circumvent that, right? Because that does fall sort of in the wellness aspect of a company, you know, but if you're sort of mid-market or, you know, startup sort of focused, you know, or an SMB, you know, ultimately at that point, you're looking at how can I engage my employees? You know, how can I provide a better benefit? You know, how can I have a more motivated employee? How can I let my employee sort of know that we care for them as a company? You know, so, you know, on that topic, you know, I think you need to understand that from an ROI perspective, corporate wellness is a very hard thing to track. You know, so I think one, you want to look for a company that has some sort of measurable data to support that whatever you're putting into it, you're getting some sort of data set back to understand if it's working or not. And that might be more tilted from my sports science background, but, you know, again, I'll always sort of lean on the data. You know, I think it's important to understand your organization and your team. So implementing surveys to understand what people want. Don't just do, you know, yoga at lunch because you're taking your subjective opinion and applying that to everybody else, right? So I think surveys will sort of lead the way. You know, so you'll know if people want yoga at lunch. You'll know if they just want to do step competitions and they're driven by motivation. You'll know if they just want you to subsidize a gym membership and don't want you to ever talk about it again. You know, so I think for mid-market and smaller companies, it's getting a better understanding as far as the heartbeat of your company from a wellness standpoint.
Got it. So now let's flip to the future.
Yeah.
As you're studying this space, you're dead smack in the middle of it. What do you think are some of the hottest trends now that will continue to be even hotter and bigger and will take it to the next level versus some of the things that you think will simmer down and just go away? And what do you just think this whole industry looks like over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah. So I think long term, I think you're going to start seeing more analytics, like I said, on an enterprise level, understanding and premiums and understanding how health and wellness and wearable tracking and, you know, activity and all these other things sort of blend into understanding healthcare spend as a whole. I mean, the data sort of industry or industrial complex, whatever you want to call it, is sort of too big, right? And we're extremely motivated on a country level to understand how those things work together, right? So I think that's where we're going to see a lot of it. And that's going to be much more in like sort of the bigger business enterprise level. When you're talking about, you know, startups or mid-market, you know, I think you're going to see much more of the sort of set it and forget it or like the hands-off type approach to corporate wellness. I mean, you know, I say this all the time, but it doesn't make sense to me, even though like, you know, I'm a sports scientist and I'm a strength coach and all these other things. It doesn't make sense to me for me to come in to my company and tell everybody how they get in shape or how they engage in fitness, right? There's a giant, you know, multi-billion dollar infrastructure out there filled with gyms, filled with studios, filled with races and events and all those other things, right? We need to find an intelligent way to get our employees to access those people in an easy manner and then build social constructs and environments around that to get people to engage outside of work. This is what people don't understand, right? Is an employee's biggest stressor in life is most of the time in their work. It's their employment. So why do we try to keep implementing systems that are done in an already stressful environment, right? You're not going to ask me to go meditate in the middle of some corporate board meeting. It's not going to work. So how do you expect that to happen on a corporate level, right? So I think that in the future, you'll see more sort of cross-pollination between the wellness industry as a whole and corporate wellness and start seeing those systems work together and then data sort of driving all that, all right, to sort of create one ecosystem to, I think, grow the market as a whole. Now, if on your question, as far as where do I see it growing, you know, I think it needs to on a more of a holistic level, right? Is that, you know, employees have a responsibility to keep their employee, or employers have a responsibility to keep their employees healthy, right? So we have to do that as a country and as a people, all right? And we need to make a bigger commitment to that, because if not, people are going to keep getting sicker. People are going to be less engaged, and we're going to get less of a response from on a growth level.
It's interesting, as you were saying, that companies should do everything they can do to make sure that their employees are healthy. But I'm sure there are a lot of HR leaders listening, thinking, where does the accountability fall on the actual employee?
Yeah.
Who wants to be healthy? Because you can't necessarily make this mandatory or force them to work out more, eat better, get more sleep, and try to build a culture that makes this healthy living, makes the culture want people to be more healthy, but you can't force them to do it. And so how should HR people deal with that, knowing that they can't actually force someone to do it?
Well, you know, I think that if you look at, like you said, the word culture, right? Now you own a tech company, correct?
Yep.
Describe, and this is going to have a lot of engineers that are going to be really mad at me in about 2 seconds, but describe the average engineer in the nicest terms possible. I mean, could you do that? Or could you pigeonhole a stereotypical engineer?
If I'm going to go off of what pop culture...
Yes, perfect.
Pop culture, stereotypical engineer is an introvert. They keep to themselves. They work late nights. They're staring into their computer screen all the time. You think that they're a little nerdy, awkward.
Right. So perfect.
I'm describing the show Silicon Valley.
Exactly. Right. So using Silicon Valley as that example, if you were to create a culture of wellness or fitness from the top down, right, and had these rah-rah sessions, had, you know, a yoga at work and like a step challenge and whatnot. Would that work in the company in Silicon Valley? And I forget the name right now, but would that work for those guys, you think?
It's called Pied Piper.
Yeah, Pied Piper, that's right. Yeah.
And no, it would not.
Exactly, right? So that's my thing about sort of creating this culture of wellness. All right? In theory, it works, right? And it sounds like this amazing utopia of like green juices, you know, and like meditation, you know, at during happy hour. You know, but you know, I do think that that's a very far off thing from most companies, right? So I think to answer your question on the HR and, you know, how do I implement or how do I force that, you know, compliance on a medical level, on an athletic level, on a fitness level will always be the biggest issue, right? We need to break down barriers as much as possible to make that next step of booking that class or joining a gym or taking a yoga class or signing up for a 5K that much easier. If we can do that, now that could be through subsidizing spend, all right, but that also could be, you know, doing a lot of the dirty work for them, right? And then making sure that they don't have to walk into Equinox and deal with some salesperson, you know, and get haggled and all these other things, right? So I think you just have to create a system or get a platform or a company or whatever have you that can just make it that much easier for a person to engage. You know, thinking on a hospital level, you know, getting to the doctor for someone who doesn't have a car is a very hard thing. So what do? We create companies that provide cars that go pick someone up, that take them to the hospital, right? Getting medication is a very hard thing if you don't have a car or if you're bedridden. So what do? We have mail delivery systems like the company that Amazon just bought, right? So a lot of these things are making it easier for people to get healthy. I think you take the utility aspect of it first. And then once you have the utility aspect, then you can layer all these other things on there to support that main utility. Does that make sense?
It does. And then I have one final question. A lot of companies feel like they're just buying BS wellness services that sound good, provide a lot of functionality. If it's software, provide a lot of different services, their service provider, but they're not really getting high adoption. from the employees. So how should HR people look at this to make sure that they're not getting tricked by used car salesmen of wellness?
Yeah.
And actually getting a real product that's going to move the needle and actually help their employees become healthier in all ways to create, hit that goal and that milestone, which is to create the best culture possible.
Sure. I would say a good example is, if you don't provide healthcare for your employees, are they going to go to the doctors? Are they less likely to go to the doctors? What would you say?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? You know, so I think there is some sort of commitment either on a financial level that companies do need to take into account. You know, I think that subsidizing on some level to sort of ease that pain of either of a financial level or sort of an access level for an employee is a very important step to do that. Now, I know that sounds like sort of an additional cost, but let's sort of like take into account all of this, right? You know, we see it a lot in New York with tech companies, and that's what we work a lot in. And you know this as well, right? So if a employee benefit for wellness of, say, $100 a month keeps that one engineer at your company for an additional 3-4 months, understanding the cost of trying to replace that engineer over that 3 or 4 months, all right, was the $100 worth it, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Because you understand how hard it is to find someone. And how hard it is to find someone good, and how expensive that process is. I mean, if we're talking about working with recruiters to find that person, we're sometimes talking about a 50, 60, 70%, you know, upcharge just to bring that person on board, you know? So I think to answer your question, we do have to look at subsidy, right? And we do have to look at paying for some of these things for their employees to get them to engage first and foremost. I think once you get that initial engagement step and you get people taking classes and you get people, you know, doing races and whatnot, I think then you can start building in all that other culture, right? And building in step challenges and building in sort of that top-down sort of methodology. But I do think it has to start with some sort of subsidization or some sort of wellness benefit.
Got it. So now I'm going to move to my favorite section of the podcast, which is called The Real, The Random, and The Ridiculous. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. So the real question, and this is going to go against everything that we've been talking about in regards to wellness, but do you eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
Do I eat bread pudding? Yeah, I love bread pudding. How do I like it made? I've never made bread pudding before, but I know I like it like super moist, you know, and not dry bread pudding. So if there's a way to make it sort of, you know, extra moist, that's the way I like bread pudding.
Perfect. And I didn't tell you this when we initially met, because it's not usually my go-to. Hey, I'm Bruce and I'm a bread pudding connoisseur, but I am.
Okay. So, how do you like your bread pudding?
The last time I had it, it was with ice cream and whiskey sauce.
Nice, nice. All right, you'll have to tell me where to go to get bread pudding in Philadelphia, okay?
I will.
Cool.
For the next question, since we've been talking about wellness this entire time, I'm interested to know, what's your go-to for your own personal wellness?
You know, what's my go-to? So I'm sort of in... You know, I always wanted to be a runner. You know, I worked with professional runners. I just don't have that sort of stick-to-itiveness to sort of engage that way. You know, so I like sort of the, you know, suffer fest aspect of, you know, either your HIIT classes or your CrossFits or your SoulCycles or whatnot. You know, I like just sort of getting it in and not having to think about anything else other than sort of the suffering, much like being a startup owner, as you know.
Nice. And then the ridiculous question. What is one of the most ridiculous reasons why a company has told you that when you were trying to sell your platform, Leon, that they said, nope, we don't really want to do corporate wellness. It's not a thing, or we're not interested.
Yeah. Let me see. The most ridiculous reason for that. You know what? I mean, I haven't heard, ultimately, and especially the people that we work with, and especially being in HR, you know, who are the people I'm normally selling to, you know, they're of that like dolphin type mentality or whale type mentality, if you've ever read that book, if it was called, but you know, most of the time they're caring people, you know? So I think that the reasons are always valid, you know, but I think the worst one I always hear is this, the timing's not right. You know, with corporate wellness, it's built on this idea of being reactionary. which is the worst thing you can do from health as a whole, right? I mean, so, you know, oh, I have diabetes, now I should take, you know, a medicine. Or, oh, I have diabetes, now I should finally exercise. You know, so regardless if you're going to subsidize or not going to subsidize, or you're, you know, just do something, right? Because your employees are better for it, your companies are better for it, and the best time to do that is probably right now.
Nice. Well, Ryan, you've been an awesome podcast guest. Thanks so much for being on the pod.
Woo! All right, bread pudding, yes.
Yes, definitely clap it up for bread pudding, for sure.
All right, cool. So, thank you so much, Chris.
Ryan,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. So, Ryan, where can people find you and Leon online?
Sure. You can go to our website. It's www.mymyleon.com. So, yeah, go ahead and check us out. You know, we're sort of free to engage with. So, any one of these companies can sort of jump on and sort of try us out, and we can just go from there.
That's awesome. And we'll put that info in the show notes. So, for all you listeners, if this is your first time listening to the podcast and you enjoyed it, which I'm sure you did, then make sure you subscribe through your favorite podcast player and tell about 5 or 10 or 100 other people to do it as well, because we want to get as many people in the community as possible. Also, if you did enjoy this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so we know that you enjoyed it. And if there's any other notes where you think we can make this better, always want to hear it. But last but not least, you know what I'm going to say, HR leaders, make sure you continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle Podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's LUXE podcasts.com.